If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, March 4th, 2024. I'm on your host, Blessing, Addy O'A Jr. Joining me is The Lock, Roger McCorney.
March the 4th be with you, you know what I mean?
March the 4th be with you. I read that date and I didn't believe it at first. Because like it doesn't feel like the 4th day of March.
No, it doesn't. No. What does it feel like to you? Does it feel like a January? Does it feel like a May?
I'll be honest. It feels like March 2nd. It just doesn't feel like we're that many days into March.
Like March, which is only two more days than you originally thought.
But like, I swear to God, I guess last time I was hosting the show, it was March 1st. And so I feel like I should have, that's the thing is I'm not said out loud March 2nd and March 3rd. So the fact that I look and it said March 4th, I was like, we skipped 2 days. So, but those days were on the weekend.
Now we're getting deep into the mind of Blessing Adeyeye Jr. If you are not hosting KFGD, the day doesn't exist.
Pretty much, honestly. Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess this early, because I think when March 1st hit, it felt like a thing, you know? Like, on Friday, I was like, oh, it's March. I was like, oh, we've just entered March. Yeah. And so March 1st was like a standout date to me. But then,
the weekend happens, doesn't count.
The weekend happens, doesn't count. The fact that the next time I look at a calendar, to be fair, I did nothing during this weekend.
Yeah.
This weekend,
same.
I spent the entire weekend in my home.
Yeah.
I was playing video games. I played Penny's Big Breakaway.
Oh!
Yeah, I played...
How deep are you into it?
I am most of the way through it. I'm on like world 7, and I believe there's like 10 worlds or so.
Jeez.
I'll tell you what, when I first started playing that game, I didn't know how I felt about it because the locomotion of it is a bit complex, right? Like they give you this movement tool set that feels like you're just doing a lot. Like it's very floaty. It is very like you throw your yo-yo, then you dive towards your yo-yo, right? Or you can swing off of it and like do all these different tricks and stuff. And like, I think because of that, at the ground floor, the movement feels a bit like, ooh, why is it moving this way?
Yeah.
Once you get into it and once you understand the way the game wants you to move, it actually turns out really fun. Like, it is like an unnatural feeling game, but the tool set they give you to like move around and navigate through the levels, I think is really good. And then the game just has a charm to it that I really dig. And so like, if you're watching the video version, you can see like, it's a very colorful game, very bright game. The art style is very stylized. You have like...
Who would you say this art style is closest to? Like, is it not a Dreamcast? I don't know anything about old consoles.
I mean, Dreamcast might not be Dreamcast might be the way to go. Okay. Yeah, like, I think, like, it does have sort of a Sega vibe to it.
Yeah.
I think part of that is the fact that it's developed by Christian Whitehead, who's, like, the same lead developer behind Sonic Mania. And so it has a lot of that influence to it. Like, the menu sounds and menu, like, vibe is completely ripped out of Sonic, which I like. But then the actual game itself, I don't really have a good point of comparison. We were talking about it on Gamescast last week, and Tim brought up Rocket Robot on Wheels. And I'm like, you know what? No joke, I can kind of see a Rocket Robot on Wheels vibe to it, but the movement definitely has like Sonic inspiration. But then like the level design,
especially the combat too, where
you're like people. You know, throwing your yo-yo at people and shit. But then like the world design definitely isn't Sonic. Like the world design is closer to something like Astrobot. Like it has like a lot of different shit going on. And now that I'm this far into it, I'm really digging it. Yeah. I will say though, what is really like lending to my enjoyment of it is the kind of game that I put on one screen. Like I have a two monitor setup, right? Yeah. On one monitor, on my like my widescreen monitor, I have Penny's Big Breakaway playing. And on my second monitor, I've been marathoning through a bunch of Tim Rogers videos.
Oh, okay.
Like old Kotaku Tim Rogers videos. Yeah. And so it's him.
Now, do you have the music up or are you just fully off the music
to
Tim Rogers?
Literally, like I had like opened up my what do they call the mixer thing that we use with Elgato?
Oh, a Wavelink.
Wavelink. Yeah, I opened up Wavelink and I like attached Penny's Big Breakaway to like my game sound, and then I turned down the game. I know, I'm
such a nerd.
I got in there, so like I turned my game sound to like 70%, and then I turned my system sound to 100. Yeah. So I'm hearing like the Tim Rogers stuff over it, but I can still hear the music faintly in the background because the music soundtrack is great. It's done by T-Lopes. Yeah.
It's so good that you're you're listening to Tim Rogers over it.
Yeah. No, so now it is like, it's Tim Rogers. It's Tim Rogers' music that he has in his video under him. And then it's T-Lopes.
Yeah, and your brain starts breaking slowly.
And then like the game soundtrack. And so I'm listening to so many different sounds at the same time. Yeah. But hey, I've been using TikTok for the last 5 years. And so my brain's been conditioned for all these different
This is nothing compared to that rot.
Exactly. Yeah. But like, it's been such a great weekend just for that.
Yeah.
Like, just been playing through this game. Been, again, the further I get into it, the more and more I enjoy it. Like, I think this is a game that is tailor-made for me and all of my tastes, and now that I've gotten into it, I'm like, oh, I see this. I think it's also far from perfect game. Like, I think it has like a lot of issues and a lot of flaws and all that stuff, but I think it, where it wants to hit, it hits, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell that this is made by somebody who's a fan of classic 3D platformers. You can tell that this is made by a fan of somebody who's into Sega stuff, but also like is into 3D Mario. Like, a lot of the movement reminds you of either a Mario 64 or even a Mario Odyssey in terms of like diving and swinging and doing all this shit. And so, yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with Penny's Big Breakaway.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I played a little bit of it, and I feel like I played it back to back with Hellscape, and both are kind of similar, at least with the reasons I put them down, in the sense that like I played a little bit of it and I was like, doesn't feel right in my hands. And there's no way that I can really like, it's not a knock necessarily at the game. It's just more of just like, I pick up the game, I want it to feel a certain way. It's just not feeling that way. And I'm like, do I have the patience to push through that, or do I want to just move on to the next thing?
Hellscape, I did the same thing where I picked it up, played like the first level and was like, this is not how I feel like this game should play. And I put it down. Granted, I know Tim talked about it, right? And like, I think I could see myself just getting used to it. It uses a very similar control scheme as like the Tony Hawk Pro Skater games.
Yeah.
But there's some like key differences in how it moves,
especially with
like,
the combat too.
Yeah, when you add in combat and it just becomes a bit overly complex, that's where I'm like, ooh, I don't know. But yeah, Penny's Big Breakaway, I had that same thing at first, but then it
I think it's also the camera thing. The fact that I can't move my camera, I'm I start moving my right stick, I'm hitting people, I'm like, okay, no, I want to move the camera. Okay, I guess not.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
I
like one of the
retrain
key,
my brain.
That's one of the key things that I'm like that's holding me back from it, right? It's like the camera stuff is a bit annoying. I understand why they do it the way they do though, because the right analog stick is how you control like your yo-yo direction.
Yeah.
And so you kind of have to just trust the camera, and a good most of the time it works. There's every now and then where I'm like, oh man, all right, cool. Like, I trusted the camera and the camera failed me. But most of the time it works. But it's definitely Penny's Big Breakaway is a game that I'll describe as, if you're a fan of the genre, it's a fan of the genre type game.
Yeah.
If you like 3D Marios, if you like Sonic games, if you like 3D platformers that have a lot of like style and charm and all that stuff, Penny's Big Breakaway is for you.
Yeah.
If you're anybody else, I would still say worth maybe checking out or peeping it and seeing if it's your thing, but it's not a game where I'm like, you have to show up, you have to play Penny's Big Breakaway.
Yeah, it's a game that I mean, in terms of the genre, I feel like I'm a fair weather fan. Like, I'm like, when it's great, I'm there. When it's not, I'm like, I'm never playing. Like,
you never last in the 3D Sonic.
Oh, I picked, it was Sonic Frontiers. You were like, hey, it's a 3 out of 5 that I love, like a 5 out of 5. I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's the time. Picked up that game, 2 hours in, I'm like, never touching this game ever again. Never happening. Yeah, exactly.
Did you check out any other Sonics? Because I know after the Sonic the Hedgehog Orchestra.
No, I'm waiting for Generations X Shadow, right? Like, I was going to do it, and then like within like a week, they were like, hey, here's the rumors of this thing. I'm like, okay, well, now I'm just going to wait for that. But no, I'm thinking about it. I always think about it. When I went to the Sonic Orchestra with you guys, I was like, I told the story before, but like, of course, I was clapping in the beginning for the actual like symphony. Beautiful. They're doing a great job. By the ending of the symphony, I'm clapping for the games because this motherfucker got a sword. You know what I mean? Like, he's doing all this crazy shit, hanging out with Chows and stuff. It's wild.
The montages they had in the background of like showing off all the coolest parts of even the worst Sonic games.
It's incredible stuff.
I've never played Sonic in the Black Knight. Is that what it's called?
The Last Knight, I think.
Sonic.
The Last Knight is a Transformers
game.
Movie. I'm pretty sure.
Chat, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure it's Sonic in the Black, because there's Sonic in the Secret Rings, and then the other Wii one, which I believe is Sonic in the Black Light or Black Knight.
Oh, so which is the Transformers movie? Let me know too.
I don't think it's the Last Knight. Black Knight. Thank you, Chat. The Last Knight, I think, is like a 2D Pixar game that never came out.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Chat.
Correct us.
I'm pretty sure it's the Mark Wahlberg Transformers.
But I never.
Last Knight.
Oh damn, you got it right. Never mind. Well, I fucked up. The bear gets off screen.
Okay, what are you doing?
No,
what are you doing, bear? What are you doing?
My employee contract. I'm sorry.
I
just love Knuckles standing in the background as he's kissing a girl.
And he knows, like, Knuckles knows for sure. Wait, is this what turns him into Supersonic?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I never watched this cutscene all the way through.
Crazy shit. You ever read the comics?
No, the Sonic comic?
Yeah.
No.
Lance has been reading the comics every night.
As a kid, I think I had, like, exactly one issue. And then, like, was it... The comics, I guess maybe not, because I remember having like a Sonic coloring book type situation.
Okay, well that's that maybe I could be... that's not.
But like they had story to them. Maybe I was just a kid. Maybe I just colored in the comics. I was young. Anyway, no.
Okay, answers... you should watch. You should read them.
Yeah.
No, but like say, you should though. You should though. I mean, like he's making out with like other Sonic like characters. I don't know. Like I don't
Amy,
know what
you're talking about. Amy Rose.
No, different woman. And then no she like way. Gets shot and killed. It's a crazy. It's crazy. Craziness.
That's insane.
You should, and they have the Archie comics too.
I know the Archie ones are fire. Archie Sonic, I hear, is like a top tier character in terms of strength. Like he's up there with Super Saiyan God Goku. That's, I'm not joking. This is what the internet says.
Archie?
No, Sonic. Archie Sonic specifically.
Yeah, the Sonic, the version of Sonic that's in the Archie okay. comic.
I thought you were saying like the fucking redhead kid was like about to pull up on Goku.
I mean, I never finished the CW show, but I'm pretty sure by the time they get towards the end of that, that he's on that level.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just a dude dressed up as Sonic, and he's in Riverdale. That's what I heard.
God, did you ever watch that show?
No.
It
was awful.
A solid season and a half of great television, and then it goes off.
A season and a half of great television.
Okay, one season of good television.
I don't think there's been ever a season of great television on the CW. Prove me wrong, everybody.
Arrow seasons 1 and 2.
Great?
Yes.
The first 5 seasons of Supernatural.
The first season of The Flash.
I don't know if we can say great.
Yes.
Yes,
we can.
We
season
go back.
Two
yes,
of Arrow is
in,
great.
For the moment. But let's go back.
If we go back, season like, right. 2 of Arrow has to be great.
For my mental health.
It has to be.
For my personality.
It's not great. Everything I know is a lie.
Speaking of your personality, Bless, I finished Scott Pilgrim Takes Off over the weekend.
Oh, what'd
Very
you think?
Cute. I enjoyed it. I liked it as a follow-up to the original work.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love
I
that
think they
you.
Could have gone further with some of the commentary they were doing with Scott specifically. I felt like that was really backloaded into the last 2 episodes, but still really enjoyed it. Still enjoyed some of the guest voice people who came in. Needed more soundtrack, man. You have Anamata Gucci making the soundtrack, and I felt like the show was so quiet. And just the audio editing in general just kind of felt all over the place. There would be some moments that were like, if they're just talking at a normal level, it'd be really loud, and then like a next scene would be really quiet. It was all over the place.
Yeah.
I gotta check it out.
It was really good.
Well, enough about all this. Let's talk about today's stories, which include an Xbox partner preview is coming. The Fallout TV show is basically Fallout 5 and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. For a chance to be a part of the show, submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Housekeeping for you, a new WWE 2K24 Let's Play is up right now with Greg and the New Day. That's up over on youtube.com/kindafunnygames.
It's great. I edited it. It's a fun time. Did Greg get his cheeks beat?
You'll
tune in to find out.
Cheeks beat. Oh, yeah, that was the thing.
Yeah. They're going to be his cheeks. They're gonna be
I don't
cheeks.
Know what it is. Maybe it just looks better. I swear, every single time I see this game, I'm like, this looks fucking great.
Yeah.
It looks way better than it has in previous years.
Yeah. No, it's been great, like, playing it in the office, and then you walking, like, usually have no interest in whatever people are playing in the office, and then you just stopping and just watching, well, just, like, eating popcorn, and just like, this is great.
I've seen it, like, over Greg's shoulder, like, him playing in his monitor, and I'm like, that game looks great, but maybe it's, like, the monitor. And then, like, I see it on the TV, and I'm like, no, this game looks better.
No,
like, it looks a lot better than it
looks
has.
Incredible.
And then in case you missed it, New Game Showdown is up right now with Tim Schafer, Andrew Renee, and Greg Rice. That's up over on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. It's a fantastic episode that you should watch. 3 stars are up this time.
Woo!
Usually we're playing for 1 star. This episode, we put up 3 stars on the board. They're going after the superstar. And yeah, y'all should check this out. This is like a highly requested. People have been asking for more guests on the show. I've been wanting to get more guests on the show. But here's the thing. All right, people say they want guests, but then they don't watch the episode. Usually, this is the secret when it comes to podcasts and YouTube content. We'll have on guests, and you guys don't show up and give it the same amount of views. And so if you want to continue to have guests, show up, give it some views. Maybe we'll get some more guests. Because I want guests, you want guests, but you have to keep giving us the reasons to bring in the guests. And so watch the episode.
If you don't watch that episode, if you don't watch this episode of KFGD, I'm never going to be on ever again. That's what Greg told me.
we just see the views plummet. We're like, oh, yeah. God damn.
I didn't know we had that power.
Listen. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Streaking Ain't Easy, and Laney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by Shady Rays and BetterHelp, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report.
It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Starting with our number one, Microsoft will stream an Xbox partner preview event this week. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Microsoft will stream its latest Xbox partner preview event this Wednesday, March 6th, kicking off at 10 a.m. Pacific time. The digital showcase will feature a mix of new and upcoming games from publishers like Capcom, Nexon, and EA. Viewable on Xbox's YouTube and Twitch channels, it will include more than a dozen new trailers over the course of its 30-minute runtime. Quote, during Xbox partner preview, you can learn more about combat and traversal in Tales of Kenzera Zhao, with a video narrated by Abubakar Salim himself. See new gameplay from Kunitsu Gami, Path of the Goddess, get a close look at the first Berserker, Kazan, and other great titles coming to Xbox, Windows, or Game Pass, Microsoft said. Roger?
Cool.
Are any of those games ones that stick out to you?
No, I'm going to be honest. Like, I mean, I guess Tales of Kenzera a little bit, right? Like, I've seen a little bit, I've heard a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. I think Tim has been talking about it a little bit. Like, it's not huge on my radar, but it is something that I'm definitely going to check out. But no, none of this is like game break, like huge. Oh my God, I got to tune into this thing. But the fact that they say 12 trailers, like, I don't know. Like, do you think we're getting any big surprises? Anything crazy?
Big surprises? I wonder about. I think so. Like, it depends on how you define big. I expect surprises. I think we're gonna get things where it's like, oh, I didn't expect that. If you remember at the last Xbox partner preview, when they announced it, they talked about it having familiar favorites from RGG Studio. This is like before Yakuza, the latest one, or sorry, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth.
How dare you?
This is before Alan Wake 2 came out, right? And they talked about having partners: RGG Studio, Remedy Entertainment, Studio Wildcard, and others for more than 20 minutes of trailers and gameplay footage. And then when it actually came through, right? Like, it had Metal Gear Solid Delta, Snake Eater, Jesus, the first in engine look. It had Alan Wake 2, like you expect, right? It had Ark's Arrival Ascended, Infinite Wealth there, Still Wakes the Deep, Manor Lords, Ikaro Will Not Die, which is one that I forgot about. That game, if you remember, that game looked pretty cool. Spirit of the North 2, RoboCop, Rogue City, Dungeons of Hinterberg, and then they had the finals. And so, like, that's a pretty jam-packed partner showcase. You know, I think Xbox, their team would want to be consistent with that sort of quality. I don't think you're busting out a partner showcase out of nowhere just to, like, put it out. Like, I think you have things to talk about.
You have to have at least one big pop, right? Yeah. Like, one big surprise pop. And are we going to get Metal Gear Solid Delta again? Probably not. But, like, not like that actual game showing up. But, like, are we going to get, like, something like it? I don't know if it's going to be as big. But, I mean, you can never write them off. They're good about it. I feel like they've been pretty good in the last few years of when they do a direct of some sort. It always has something for not only everybody for the most part, but also they know that people are watching this looking for a big surprise.
So I'm going over to kindoffunny.com/calendar. Oh, no, we got to update it. I was trying to pull up Blessing Super Fun Game Release Calendar, but when I go to kindoffunny.com/calendar, it goes to the one from last year. So instead, let me go to my bookmarks. Remember.
Whoa!
Remember, everybody.
Blessing's bookmarks are crazy, bro.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, look at all these crazy-ass bookmarks. Remember, if you want to keep track of Blessing Super Fun Game Release Calendar,
that'd be
Twitter,
awesome.
Find the tweet, bookmark. Yeah, it's just all important. I'm pulling up Blessing Super Fun Game Release Calendar, which I guess I also have on Google Docs, but it doesn't matter.
Can you send that to Slack?
I got you.
Thank you.
Send your bookmark.
I also need to update it. Because, yeah, I've not touched the calendar since early January, and a lot has happened since then.
Yeah, it's March already.
I know.
Fourth.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is the fourth.
Not the second.
And I go through, and I'm looking at, like, okay, what do we have for the rest of the year? And there's, like, I guess March is pretty spoken for. There's Aiden Chronicles. There's Tales of Kenzera again happening in April. There's Black Myth Wukong, which could be a cool thing to show up.
Yeah, but I feel like that's one you would say is there. Right, like, I don't think that's necessarily.
Sure.
I don't think that's like a big surprise. It's like, oh, look, we're showing this game.
Oh yeah, I really got to update this. Because in, like, the TBA section,
GTA 6.
In TBA, I have Penny's Big Breakaway, and, like, I mean, Silent Hill 2 but that's like a PlayStation thing, isn't it? Silent Hill 2
remake.
Yeah,
it definitely is.
Skate Story.
Sure.
The Plucky Squire.
Yeah.
That could be a really cool one to show actually.
Yeah, but I also think that Devolver might want to just do that by themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, either release trailers by themselves or partner with an actual, like, big E3 and summer game like, situation.
The vibe I'm getting is, like, these are going to be a bunch of smaller titles, right? And I think Plucky Squire would be one you would lead with.
Yeah.
You know, that's been on people's radars for the last few years.
Mm. There's also, there's Earthblade that we don't know much about.
What's Earthblade?
Earthblade is the one coming from, I forget the new name of the developer, but Maddie Makes Games, who did Celeste.
Oh, yeah.
They're making Earthblade, and it premiered, was it this last Game Awards, or was it the Game Awards before? It was either 2 months ago or 14 months ago, and I can't remember.
Which March was it announced in?
Yeah, March 4th.
So no relation to Stellar Blade.
No relation to Stellar Blade, no. Earthblade. God, yeah, a lot of blades happening. A
lot of blades.
But yeah, it could be cool to see something from this game. It's slated for 2024. Yeah. And yeah, like this is one that I think could have a big splash and one that I think you would save as a surprise. I think Earthblade is one where it's like, hey, let's not tell them. Let's fucking put it in there and blow their minds, especially if this game comes out as special as something like Celeste. Yeah. But I think those are some of your options there. That said, right, like the games that we have on this list that we know are coming, Tales of Kinzera is out. So like I mentioned, I had a gamer weekend, right?
Oh.
I was playing Penny's Big Breakaway. I had Tim Rogers playing on the other screen. I also booted up the demo for Tales of Kinzera, Zal. Just play a little bit, see what I thought. I literally played maybe 8 to 10 minutes. And as soon as I started like navigating the levels, as soon as I started doing like learning how this game moved and what this game was, I was like, all right, I'm going to put this down. Don't want to play anymore until the full thing comes out.
Yeah.
When the full thing comes out, I want to experience the fuck out of this game. Because it is like, it's Metroidvania, obviously. Like it's that style of game, but I was surprised by how much Metroid it is, even in like the Metroidvania scale. I was expecting more like, all right, cool, I'm gonna explore, I'm gonna get into melee combat and all this stuff. The first ability you have, like you can like kind of tune to have either moon abilities or sun abilities. You switch back and forth between the two. And I believe the sun abilities are like more melee, and then the moon abilities are more projectile. When I was running around, like they have that like, in the way that Metroid will have like the button that you hold to do like the directional aiming and shooting. Yeah. Tales of Kinzera has that. Like, it feels, moves and feels like a Metroid game. And I'm in the mood for that, coming off of playing both Metroid Dread and Metroid Prime. I'm so down for another game like that, right? That leans into those things, even though it doesn't look like that. Even though it looks like it'd be more like a Prince of Persia, Prince of Persia, what's the latest one called?
Ooh, Crown?
Crown, The Lost Crown.
Lost Crown.
Even though it looks
the
like
last
it,
night.
The Last Night. Even though it looks like it would be more of that, right? Like, I like how Tales of Kinzera feels. So, I think that's an exciting one. And then, yeah, this...
we have a release date on that one?
Soon.
Just soon.
What, Tales of Zanzara?
Kinzera. Yeah, I feel like it's in the next couple
it's
of
April.
Months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the release date, was soon.
No,
was
like, no,
oh, okay, that's a good one. Okay, that's
I'm like, I think it's in the next couple of months.
Okay, cool.
And then this game, Kunitsu Gami, Path of the Goddess.
Yeah,
I believe...
I forgot about that.
That's the Capcom game.
Yeah. That was the one we watched, and we're like, wait, what is this?
Yeah, we're like, what genre is this?
Is this Bayonetta? No, it's not Bayonetta.
No, it's like, it looks like an action game, but also kind of looks like it has some strategy stuff going on there, too. And the art style is a bit, I think, different from what you'd expect out of a Capcom thing.
Yeah.
And I want to see more. I was doing a stream over the weekend where I was just talking about games, right? And one of the things that got brought up was just Capcom and the power of Capcom. I was doing like my top 100 games list. And so I was like, okay, Street Fighter 6 is on there. Oh yeah, Resident Evil 2 is on there. And I'm like, dude, Capcom has been on fire in the last few years. And, you know, somebody brought up that like, oh man, well, for every Street Fighter 6, Capcom will have a... what's the name of the dinosaur?
I was literally about to ask you what the dinosaur game was already.
Yeah, but they'll have one of those. I want to say X Defiant, but that's Ubisoft. And as I was talking about it, though, I was like, well, if that's like your Exoprimal, thank you, Chad. Yeah. And I'm like, if Exoprimal is your floor, like if Exoprimal is the bad game you're putting out, then you're a pretty stellar developer.
But it wasn't even bad from what I remember,
and
right?
That's,
yeah.
And that's my thing is Exoprimal was fine. Like I had a lot of fun playing Exoprimal. And so like, if that's what we're talking about on the lower end of what we're getting out of Capcom, then I'm going to be excited for Path of the Goddess, right? Like I don't know what it is. I'm waiting to see more.
These
but
flower people, I don't know. We're opening up doors.
Yeah. I think this Xbox showcase, this Xbox partner preview is going to be a good way to like enlighten people a bit more, like open up the door for like more people getting into it and understanding exactly what it is.
Yeah,
especially if this game is coming out this year, which you assume it has to be around the corner.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn what it is, and I'm excited for this. I love a good partner preview. I like a good direct. It makes the day better. Blessing. It makes the day when you walk into work and you're like, oh, we got a partner preview, we got a direct. I mean, it gets me excited.
Oh yeah.
I don't
know. Oh yeah. I'm super excited for this. I think it's gonna be a good time. And yeah, like especially I know the third party stuff always feels less exciting than the first party stuff. But I'm in the place now where I'm like, no, yeah, I'm kind of down to like see what's there for third party. I think Xbox first party, we have a good idea. We know Hellblade's coming. We know when it's coming. We know Indiana Jones is coming. We know when that's coming, right? Like, I think for Xbox, you have a pretty good like the audience has a good idea of what to expect right now. And I'm good on not hearing more about that. I want to see, yeah, what is the third party stuff coming that I don't know much about? And there was somebody in chat that mentioned Pragmata. That'd be cool to see that. I don't think we're going to see that. In fact,
I would love if it gets delayed again. Just every time I see it, it's just delayed.
I don't even know if that's even on Xbox, because that was first showed at a PlayStation 5 first party thing, like at the PlayStation 5 reveal. But yeah, I'm excited for this.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be a good time. You know what else is going to be a good time? Hopefully the Fallout TV show. Story number two. The Fallout TV show is a non-interactive version of Fallout 5, says Jonathan Nolan. This is Wesley Yenpool at IGN. The creators of the upcoming Prime Video Fallout TV show have likened it once again to Fallout 5, calling it a non-interactive version of the feature video game. In an interview with Total Film via GamesRadar, executive producer Jonathan Nolan said the project is almost like we're Fallout 5. Quote, from the first conversation with Todd Howard, Bethesda development chief and executive producer on the show, we were most excited about an original story. Fallout, in my career, is the closest to the work we did in adapting Batman, where there's so much storytelling in the Batman universe that there is no canonical version of it, so you're free to invent your own. Each of the Fallout games is a discrete story, different city, distinct protagonist, within the same mythology. Our series sits in relation to the games as games sit in relation to each other. So it's almost like we're Fallout 5.
We're Fallout 5 now. Do you get it?
Do you remember?
We're Fallout 5.
Did you ever get far enough in The Flash where...
The answer is sadly going to be yes.
Where, God, I can't remember anything today. What's Flash's partner's name?
Iris.
Iris, yeah. Where Iris is like, we're the Flash.
Yep. And she has the little mask and everything. Yeah. Was it her that could see the future or something like that? Or like feel? Oh no, it was Joe West's girlfriend.
Who
can like feel other people's emotions.
What a ridiculous show that was.
Great first season though. You know.
Great first season.
Also, apparently. My mic was muted when I yelled it, but you know, we're not getting an actual Fallout 5 for another decade. So you know what? Fuck it. We're Fallout 5.
We're Fallout 5 now.
TJ, when I said his partner, TJ Kento says, "Oh, you mean a sister." Which I always forget that detail.
What?
Yeah, I mean, Stepsister.
It's like a Dexter situation.
Stepbro.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound presumptuous, but this is me coming back into the
club. Yeah, this is not for The Flash. Yeah.
I don't want to sound presumptuous, but it's just a non-interactive version of it, right? End quote. This isn't the first time the creators of Fallout TV show have compared it to Fallout 5. In December, executive producer and showrunner Graham Wagner said similar, quote, we didn't want to start from a place of characters from the games. We set things after. We kind of told ourselves, this is Fallout 5. This is just another installation. And we're starting with fresh snow. End quote.
How many times can we say Fallout 5 in this fucking new story?
We're all Fallout 5.
We're all Fallout 5 when you think about it. This is, in my opinion, everything they're saying is right. Right, like this is the way that you make a Fallout show, is you just kind of put it in a different part of the country. What is it, LA right now, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so you're putting in LA, you're like, yeah, it's the games happen, but we don't need to talk about the games, right? Like, we don't need to talk about what happened in New Vegas. Maybe there's a little Easter egg here and there, but like, this makes sense to me and it totally works. I think it is funny that they're calling it Fallout 5, right? Like, I mean, it's a good pitch, but like, Fallout 5's only going to be Fallout 5, right? Like, this is going to be always a spinoff. This is always going to be.
Two decades from now, there's going to be a game that comes out titled Fallout 5,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But I think it's a good spirit to have when you're making something like this. You know, I'm somebody who, when it comes to video game adaptations, what they're pitching this as is more of what I want out of it. Like when The Last of Us show was announced, or when Metal Gear Solid, the movie was announced that still hasn't come out. One of my gripes with those things had been that, you know, I have these games that are already cinematic, that already like give me what I would probably want or get out of a TV show. And so, you know, why are we retreading these same steps? I like the idea of games that have worlds and being able to like base something within that world. And I think RPGs or open world stuff, like I think games that have side quests and side characters and all this shit are good for that. That's why I'm excited about to see what they do with the Horizon thing, even though they said the Horizon thing is like a preview thing. I forget, or not a prequel type thing.
Oh, really? Exactly. I didn't know that.
It was something like that. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. But that's why I'm like, the idea of even a Destiny TV show where it is, this takes place on the other side of the universe or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff speaks to me. A Fallout show that is, hey, this takes place in LA and we're going to take all of those things about Fallout that you know and love, but yeah, create a new story, create a new area, try to like, you know, tell a story that's going on the opposite side of the United States. Like, I think that's really fun. I think that's really cool.
And you know that this is going to retread a lot of the same ground as the games in a certain extent, right? Because it is something that is not only for us people that played Fallout, but it's for newer audiences, people that have only heard the name Fallout from, you know, their kid playing it or whatever, right? Like, it's going to be on Amazon Prime. Everyone's going to experience this show. So, of course, there's inherently going to be a little bit of that retreading of what's the Brotherhood of Steel? Like, what does all this stuff mean? But I do always gravitate towards, like, the Star Wars stories that are, like, in a completely separate side of the universe that isn't on Tatooine. Like, so I like that we're going this direction.
And on top of that, like, there are so many things that make Fallout that you can, that appear in all the games that, you know, deal with the same thing of, in every Fallout game, you're going to encounter a Brotherhood of Steel, right? Like, you're going to encounter ghouls, you're going to encounter super mutants. Like, there are so many parallels you have. And I think the thing that makes it special as a franchise is that the scenarios that you meet the Brotherhood of Steel in are different, right? It is, in this game, they're doing this thing, but in this game over here, they're dealing with a different problem, right? Yeah. Like, in the TV show, you're going to meet the Brotherhood of Steel. The question is, what are they up to in LA? You know, you're going to meet ghouls, you're going to meet super mutants, but the question is, how are they going to introduce them? What is the wacky scenarios? I like the fact that, you know, I have multiple Fallout games that I played that have multiple, like, talking super mutants, and it freaks me out every single time when I meet a super, like, the first time I met a super mutant that talked in Fallout 3 that, like, became, like, a companion in my party, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And it happened again in Fallout 4, and I'm like, what the, like, still, I'm like, yeah, all right, this is weird, but I'm going to roll with it. I'm sure in the Fallout TV show, you're going to meet a super mutant and, like, they're going to become friends with the main character, and it's going to be weird, but it's still going to be funny because that's what Fallout is.
Yeah. I hope that they,
somebody mentioned Strong. I just want to shout out Strong. Gotcha. That's the name of the super mutant.
Yeah. I hope that they are able to, if they're going down this route of saying, hey, basically we're Fallout 5, we can do whatever we want, we're in a different part of the country, I hope that they're able to double down on the weirdness, right? Like, on the weird permutations of what this universe can be. Right. Like, I don't want them to be retreading as much ground as they potentially feel like they might need to do for a newer audience. I hope that they're able to just be like, hey, we're just going to focus on this specific area of this type of person. And, you know, oh, look at this interesting faction that's happening that is unique to this universe and to this show. So I'm this is the Westworld people, I believe, that are making this.
Jonathan. Oh, yeah. That's one thing I want to shout out, actually. Jonathan Nolan is the executive producer. And he was the same on Westworld. Yeah. He's also Christopher Nolan's brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I believe he worked on Batman, which is the thing he's referencing here, too. But I actually, today is like the first day I'm realizing that it's Jonathan Nolan. I don't think I knew that before.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, oh, shit, Westworld had a great season.
Yeah, first season. Yeah.
I didn't watch past that.
Exactly. But just like The Flash. Just like The Flash.
No, I watched past that in The Flash. But yeah, great first season. And so, hopefully we have a great CW show.
Great CW show.
CW was on fire when they put out Westworld.
No, I'm excited for it. I think, when is this coming out? This is coming out in a few months? Yeah. I fucking hate it here.
Coming out so I'm not wrong.
No. I'm excited for this, and I'm looking forward to it because especially I'm excited for the call. My mom. Ring, ring. Have you ever heard of this Fallout? What's this Fallout thing? Yeah. I love it. I was waiting for One Piece. I was waiting for my mom to call me and be like, what's up with One Piece?
Did your mom call you about Last of Us when that happened?
Yes. Everybody happened. To April 12th.
April 12th, yep.
Like I said, soon just means April, just so you know. Whenever I say soon, I just mean April.
It just means April.
And also, to Bear's point earlier, them calling this Fallout 5, great. Because we're not going to have a Fallout 5 for a while.
No.
Like, and it pains me. It hurts me. Because, like, I love Fallout. I care more about Fallout than I do any of, like, Bethesda Game Studios, other things, being Elder Scrolls and Starfield at this point. Like, just give me another Fallout. Yeah. Just let Obsidian or somebody else work on Fallout, right? Yeah. Like, I want more Fallout, but it feels like we're not going to get that for at least another decade.
Yeah.
Just the fact that, like, you're in early production of the next Elder Scrolls, and it's going to take at least 5 years.
Yeah, we're going to get, like, 2 remakes before we get another Fallout, which is good, but...
Yeah. And so, man, I'll let this TV show hold me over for now, but I'm going to need some video games.
Yeah, but it's interesting, right? Because the TV show, the direction that they're going is the direction that I would want the games to go in a certain sense, right? If they were to make a game in between 5 or whatever, I know they're calling this 5, but like I would want a New Vegas, something like that, right? Where you just give it to a different developer, let them go wild in a different country, even something like that. That'd be fun.
Cool. I mean, it does make me wonder, like, where do you go after this? Yeah. You know, like, is the next, when Fallout 5 actually comes out, do you also base it in LA? Do you go to Seattle? Do you go to New Orleans?
Mm.
We're running out of US cities. Like
I think we will have to go
to another country.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that would be cool. That'd be cool.
Fallout in like London.
Fallout London, the sequel to GTA London. Oh, isn't Fallout London happening? Isn't that like an actual like mod or something like that?
I think it is a mod. Fallout London does exist. Fallout Canada. Fallout in Osaka.
Whoa.
Y'all kind of spitting right now.
Y'all spitting.
Roger, we're going to move on to story number three. Yes, but before we do, I want to tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunny and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. That's where you can get the Kind of Funny membership, which allows you to get shows ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays, an independent sunglasses brand that has over 300,000 five-star reviews. They are on a mission to match affordability with durability, making top-quality shades accessible to everyone. They have tons of styles and colors to pick from, so finding the perfect polarized shades is a breeze. If you want an upgrade, we recommend their premium Color Rush lenses. Crafted with rare earth materials, these lenses bring high-impact color to life, elevating reds, blues, and greens. Here at Kinda Funny, we all love wearing our Shady Rays, whether it is Tim looking dope doing his Pokemon Go walks, Snowmike Mike rocking the snow goggles, or Joey just looking fantastic in her tangle-free shades. If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. And if you don't love your shades, exchange them or return them for free within 30 days. Exclusively for y'all, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Again, that is ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off polarized sunglasses.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Whether it's friends, partners, or coworkers, I am blessed to have many amazing relationships in my life. But a common misconception about relationships is that they have to be easy to be right. But sometimes the best ones happen when both people put in the work to make them great. Therapy can be a place to work through the challenges you face in all of your relationships, whether it's with friends, work, your significant other, or anyone else. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Raj, what would you say is the capital of Oklahoma?
Ooh.
Yeah, it's not that
Nebraska.
Easy. Okay, no, that's another state.
Oh, shit.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You could have said anything, I would have been like, oh.
Now, I love that the audience has no idea what our conversation was. We're just asking each other capitals. We in the ad break, we were talking about capital.
Would you believe that the capital of Oklahoma is Oklahoma City?
That's
that was a fucking easy one. You just fucking
I whiffed it.
You whiffed it.
Okay, when you say
another state,
yeah, I'm just gonna say city after all of it.
God, what's the capital of California?
Oh,
come on, you live here, man.
Ooh.
You live here.
Come on, Raj.
Come on.
I believe in you.
I don't.
God, it's on the back of your car.
Is it?
I know it's not.
And what is it?
Now I'm like,
no,
is it Sacramento?
Yes.
It's Sacramento.
No.
Okay,
it is Sacramento.
Ooh, I was about to
no
say.
Way, really?
Yeah, Sacramento.
That's wild.
I think I know that because of Even Stevens. I'm pretty sure Even Stevens takes place in Sacramento.
Remember the Even Stevens movie? I think about that a lot.
Where they're on the island?
Yeah, and I think about the time where they didn't have any food and they just had one peanut and they had to split the peanut four ways.
What a movie, dude. God. Let's move on to story number three. Luigi's Mansion 2 HD and Paper Mario Remake news could be coming this week. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. News on Luigi's Mansion 2 HD and Nintendo's Paper Mario The Thousand Year Door Remake could arrive this weekend. On Sunday, an X user, that's Twitter, posted a message requesting that Nintendo provide an update on the Paper Mario title on March 10th, which is when the company celebrates Mario Day. Picking up on the message, reliable leaker, Pierre. Oh, I guess that is this weekend.
Yeah,
I see what they're doing there. Picking up on the message, reliable leaker, Pierre, seemingly suggested a Paper Mario update could be planned for this weekend, along with fresh news about Luigi's Mansion. Pierre has a strong track record when it comes to Nintendo leaks, including outing Super Mario Bros. Wonder ahead of its official announcement and teasing F-Zero news the week before Nintendo announced the first new series entry in almost two decades.
Wowza.
Yeah, Pierre is one that we see that name pop up quite a bit. Cool. You know, like, I mean, I'm excited for more news about Paper Mario The Thousand Year Door. I know there's people out there excited for more news about Luigi's Mansion 2 HD.
Haven't met, though. Haven't met anybody in my life.
No, that's super excited for. I mean, honestly,
they theoretically exist.
They theoretically exist. I'm sure somebody in chat. Let me ask. Chat, are you guys excited about Luigi's Mansion 2 HD?
And you have to actually be excited. Like, don't just say it to say it.
Like,
come on.
I want you to be like, yo, I fucking can't. Like, top five most anticipated video game of the year.
Jeppo,
like,
says
I want
yes.
To, I want
no,
that kind
no.
Of
yes, please, sir.
Yeah, say. Alex.
No,
Alex,
and no.
And a lot of no's.
A lot of no's, chat. A lot of no's.
This is a very deep cut, a very long callback, but my aunt, who's apparently the only Scooby-Doo super fan, is also probably stoked about Luigi's Mansion
2. Oh, hell
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's awesome.
She is the one person I know, like, personally, that actually likes those games.
Incredible.
Yeah. I don't think I realized. What's funny is, like, I remember Luigi's Mansion 3 came out quite a few years ago, right? When they announced Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, I was like, there was a second one. They made a second one. I thought they just skipped three. Like, when they put out Luigi's Mansion 2.
Yeah, and 2. Also when they announced the HD version, I was like, I'm sure, wasn't this already out on, like, Wii U or something? I don't know. Like, I'm just like,
the 3DS.
I don't fucking know. I mean, like, yeah, sure. I'm excited for Paper Mario The Thousand Year Door Remake. I mean, not like in terms of, like, seeing any more of that game. Just like, I want it. I want to play it. I've never experienced Paper Mario in general, but Thousand Year Door is the one that everyone's like, hey, you gotta play it, you gotta play it, you gotta play.
Are you gonna play Paper Mario 64 before you play Thousand Year Door?
No.
What?
No. Why?
I don't know. Maybe you want to play the first one before you play the second one.
No.
Oh, well, so you're just gonna jump into
it. I'm gonna jump into it. Why? Do I have to? Do I have to play the 64 one?
Are people out here just jumping into Rebirth? You know, like, you gotta play the first one.
Listen, we did have an ad that said, hey, you could just jump into it. You could just jump into it.
I had nothing to do with that ad, right?
Do I have to play the 64 one? Or?
Yes, apparently.
Apparently. The stories don't honestly connect at all. So yeah, what the fuck, Blessing?
Yeah, I was going to say, probably not. I've not played Thousand Year Door. I've only played the first one. So I have no idea how the story connects or if the story connects.
I mean, it looks...
But also, yeah. Like, Paper Mario 64, pretty good. Holds up. Maybe you want to get
Here's the thing.
Maybe you want to warm up.
I'm always the person with any video game, with artists in general, whatever. Mm-hmm. Their new release is always the one that I get into first. And I know it's a remake, but stick with me here. I would rather play this game than go back and be like, you know, I got to play the 64. 64 is a remake? Was it remade?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, so yeah. What the fuck?
I'm pretty sure it's on Switch Online.
How dare you? How dare you say this to me?
Listen, Paper Mario, the first one, pretty good video game. You know, okay. I think it's worth trying out. I think it's worth getting into. Now, do you have to play it before Thousand Year Door? No, you don't have to do that.
No. I might try it out.
Yeah.
Once it's remade, 5 years from now.
They're never going to remake Paper Mario 1. I say that.
No, you say that. They remade Mario versus Donkey Kong like 2 months ago.
You're right, actually. That's a really good point. I didn't consider that. You're actually very right about
that. You can't say
that.
Maybe
they'll remake it.
But
we'll have
to
see.
Are you going to play Luigi's Mansion 2?
No. What do I look like?
What are we talking about? What are we talking
about? Do I look like the 3% in the chat? Come on. Story number four. Microsoft made a SpongeBob SquarePants Xbox Series Woo! X. This is Wesley Yinpool at IGN. Microsoft's fondness for special edition Xbox consoles continues with a SpongeBob SquarePants Xbox Series X. The Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2 special edition bundle includes a custom designed console inspired by SpongeBob SquarePants himself, showing off his iconic smile, Krusty Krab uniform, and ecstatic arms. Ecstatic arms? All right. Katie Schroeder, Xbox Channel Marketing Director.
They're like, we need one more, like a third thing to describe SpongeBob.
How do you describe his arms?
Ecstatic arms. The bundle, The bundle also contains an Xbox wireless controller featuring SpongeBob and his friends, including Squidward, Gary, and Mr. Krabs, in a collage of cartoon characters, as well as digital download of Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2. But as is also Microsoft tradition at this point, you can't simply buy the SpongeBob SquarePants Xbox Series X. Fans only have an exclusive opportunity to get one through Best Buy drops on the Best Buy mobile app. Shorter warned, a limited supply of consoles go on sale at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Thursday, March 7th. The bundle retails for $699 and is only available in the U.S. Quote, download the Best Buy mobile app, make sure you set a notification, and act fast. Once the drop goes live, it'll only be obtainable while inventory remains, Shorter said.
Wow.
Come on, man.
This looks...
Yo, wait,
fuck
this is $700?
Fuck this.
I mean, it comes with the game, Barrett.
That's worth $100.
It's where it comes with the game.
$6.99 is insane for this. I would like this a lot more if they didn't have the All-Star Brawl logo on the side of it, which is very annoying. I think this is cool as like a cute little thing. I'm surprised that this hasn't been done before. I'm pretty sure this hasn't been done before. I mean, he's Square, SpongeBob, it makes sense, but I don't know. This is the actual like console itself is fine. The controller is the thing that I'm like, what are we doing?
The controller's doing
so
too much.
Ugly. It's so ugly.
The controller is doing way too much. I agree about the Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2 logo. I'm somebody who loves SpongeBob. Like, SpongeBob is maybe probably my favorite cartoon ever. It's up there. It's in the conversation.
And it holds up. Talk about a show that holds up. Yeah. Like, those first two seasons, like, hold the fuck up.
Yeah, it's like, SpongeBob is incredible. And I'm so fascinated for like the people who are gonna show up for this, because I'm like,
is it scalpers? Is that like the majority of the people that are showing up?
You know,
probably,
that's a good question.
Right?
I don't know, because I'm definitely not.
I
in
hope
the market.
It is, because who the fuck are they gonna scalp to?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's buying?
You're just
this
stuck
for
with this for $700. Am I gonna get? First of all, Nickelodeon All Star Brawl 2 came out in November.
Yeah,
like you're five months late for this thing.
And at this point, you might as well have made this a special edition for the actual SpongeBob game that came out last year.
Honestly,
that's true.
It's a fascinating one. I even thought about like the case scenario of, oh man, like would this have been a cool thing to have bought for my nephews?
Yeah,
right. Because I got them an Xbox Series S for Christmas a couple years ago, and like they love it, they enjoy it. But like, I don't even think they know SpongeBob, or I know they know SpongeBob, but I don't think they love SpongeBob like that.
Yeah,
you know, like if my mom got me a SpongeBob N64 as a kid, I would have been like, oh man, you could have just got me a regular one.
Well, I will say I was obsessed as a kid, even though I never really watched Pokemon, but like with the Pikachu N64 that they had,
yes,
that was cool as hell. But that was also like 3D, like you had
that,
like
was
a
cool,
it was
fuck.
Like popping out, it was Pikachu right there, like that's dope to me.
And I feel like
this is just a skin, right? Like, this is something I can get off, like, D-brand or something. You know what I mean?
Like, and my thing with it is that, like, that's Pokemon, right? Like, that's a video game franchise. Like, that is, like, and that's a big video game franchise. Yeah. And I'm playing Pokemon Stadium 2 on that thing. Like, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl Special Edition Xbox.
Here's the thing. I think I would be 100% down with this if the arms came out. You know what I mean? Like, he had actual arms. And his arms, those are static arms.
Because then they're ecstatic for real.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa! Yeah, it's like the waving.
You press a button, they start moving.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa!
That's a brilliant idea. Dope.
I also an X, really? Why is it not an S? You know what I mean? Like, if you
because only the biggest and best gamers are showing up.
Well,
because
you can't, like, with the weird speaker air vent thing on the top. It, like, you can't really design a.
Here's the thing.
Just slap a sticker on that motherfucker. That ain't working.
Here's the thing. Oh man, I forget who tweeted it. It might have been Stein who tweeted it. They did tweet out the S.
Oh.
But like in a meme.
Oh.
As part of like they tweeted it as a SpongeBob character. I found it. I'll put it in assets. Cause I like how this thing looks.
As a meme. Okay, gotcha. I see what you're saying.
Cool. I'll just drop it in assets. But yeah, I do like when Xbox does all these special edition things. I do wish that a lot of them were more available. This one, it's the weird balance though, where, and this is the Barrett's brought it
one.
Up if you're watching
That's
it.
That's a good one.
Like, they just put the googly eyes on there, and so it looks like a SpongeBob.
It's the meme off, I think, from the movie, right?
The
where
movie.
They're shocked or whatever, and it has the
their
mouths
are
right
agape.
Yeah. Don't say that shit again to me.
That's
don't
awful.
Say what? That to
that's
me.
That's the best way to describe it.
Don't say no.
Their mouths are agape.
No.
It's a real word.
No, I just know you said it and then you felt some like, no. You know what I mean? Like you said it when you knew.
The way you're saying no just proves our,
no.
Like, it proves that
no,
Roger's
no.
Right.
That's
the
no.
Word. Agape? Their mouths are agape.
You knew. No. Yeah, pog mouth. That's the way to say it. Poggers.
Okay, no.
We gotta say poggers.
We're not gonna do it. We're not
both
gonna,
of those are awful.
We're not gonna replace agape with pog.
Yeah, it's poggers. It's poggers. That's the genuine way to say it. That's the way to say it. I'm poggers. Bringing the youth energy to this podcast, and you're saying agape?
Their mouths are agape. but yeah, cool. Oh, well, I was gonna say that, like, I wish that a lot more of these, like, cool Xbox editions were more available. That said, for the SpongeBob one, I'm also like, yeah, but how many people are going to show up for this SpongeBob sure. thing? But then it's like, why do it? I don't know. I just
wish that these were just, like, D-brand collaborations instead. Yeah. Like, they would be way more affordable. People could not have to wait on Best Buy drops to spend $700 on a, you know, a skin. They could just buy the Xbox and then put it on the thing. I don't know.
Like, yeah.
I know why they do it for the money. But,
like, they have, like, those coats, you know, those
oh,
jackets.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah, that they put over
yeah,
the...
Yeah,
I want to see, like, yeah, more interesting versions of those, because I think a SpongeBob...
With arms that, would be, that you just put in there.
Yeah, then you really could maybe add arms to it.
So many things you could do, yeah.
Roger, we just talked about a lot of big old news.
Ooh.
But if I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I look?
You'd go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the news, small news. Fuck! Where we cover
it's
all the small
right there.
Where we cover all the small news items you need to know about.
There we go.
There we go.
Story number five.
Fuck.
It's time for Wii News.
I got so nervous.
It's okay, I get nervous.
It's a new segment. I got nervous.
This one comes from IGN. Meta will delete all Oculus accounts later this month. Meta announced today that those who fail to migrate their Oculus account to a Meta account will lose access to all their games and in-app purchases at the end of the month.
I thought they weren't doing that. That's
nice. I think they weren't doing that immediately.
they're like,
I'm losing those purchases.
For the last 2 years, Mojang has been messaging me being like, you got to move over your Minecraft account. And I'm like, fuck you. I'm not.
Did you do it?
No. Just let it
you're
die.
You're going to lose your Mojang.
I don't care. Account. I don't care. I got it on Game Pass. I don't care.
A free Astrobot costume is coming to Sackboy A Big Adventure on March 8th. Temtem gets a patch this year, which will turn off all microtransactions. They're working on a new game, which uses the Temtem IP, but it's not Temtem Swarm or Temtem 2. Melatonin is coming to PS5 on March 12th. Melatonin, pretty cool game. I like that one. It's like a Rhythm Heaven, but a lot more chill. Afterlife EP launches Q3 2024 on Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, and PC. Cataclysmo launches July 16th on PC. Scare Ritual leaves early access on April 18th and launches on Xbox Series, PS5, and PC. And then Kiniku Niko, Super Muscle Cat, launches March 19th on PC.
I see you copying that. I need to see it.
Yeah, that's Barrett's copying that. He's going to bring up stuff from that. And that's it.
Wow.
For Wii News. Now it's time for the Super Chat section. That's where you write in with your Super Chats. We read your Super Chats and we talk about them on the show.
Wow.
Let's start off with DJ Kento, who says, Ken Penders, one of the long-term writers of Archie, of the Archie Sonic comics, is a deeply weird man, and I highly recommend any YouTube essay on his work.
Okay.
You'll be shocked at what they published.
This is Super Muscle Cat.
Oh, yeah. Barrett's brought up Super Muscle Cat.
Eh.
Okay. Yeah, so it was like... You have a super buff man with a cat head.
Yeah.
Or I guess a super buff cat with a man body. I don't know how to.
And he just flashed a child, what seems like. I don't like that.
I don't think he didn't flash.
Yeah,
him.
He did. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was like, wah. And then he turned to a cat. So it's like, okay.
But I think it wasn't like, I think our box was like covering that part. I don't think he flashed him.
It would show it. It looked like a flash. It looked like a flash. That's all I'm saying.
All right, cool. Yeah, this game.
What is happening?
I don't know.
I gotta take
this
off the screen.
Yeah.
No, it transformed. Okay, well, you know.
Yeah.
It's in between. It's
our
like,
box was. Listen, I'm sure Kiniku. No. I'm sure the Catman was on the up and up.
Listen, if that's the side of history you want to take, I'm anti this.
I don't have enough information.
I'm against this Catman.
DJ Kento said, also has a second super chat. Dang, DJ Kento's on it today.
Oh my God.
Can we please track one of these SpongeBob Xbox on StockX after it drops?
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, like, what is the market for this thing? Because I know, and this is me, I guess what, when the Bluey Xbox came out, that was highly sought after. Because I remember
But that was also like they only made like a handful or something, right?
Yeah, but they're, I mean, they're only making a handful of these SpongeBob things. And so, like, if Andrew Renee got the Bluey one, and Gary Wood and Greg Miller are both like, oh, we want that, I'm sure that same thing exists for SpongeBob.
Yeah.
There's some sick SpongeBob fan out there that's like, I need that Xbox.
Yeah, I could see this one being one of those things that, like, is going to be super rare in, like, 10 years that everyone's going to be like, oh, fuck, I need to get that SpongeBob Xbox Series X or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know if it's going to be, like, immediate.
I think that's it for Super Chats.
Wow.
Yeah. Going back to Wii News, though.
Oh.
Put an Astrobot in Sackboy Big Adventures. Oh, God. I didn't mean like this. I didn't mean
we're back, everybody.
God, we got the set changed.
You want me to do the intro again?
No, you're good. No, don't do it. Yeah, like putting an Astrobot costume into Sackboy Big Adventure.
Yeah.
I feel like it's both a little too late, but then also cats and dogs living together. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's a bit much for me. It's a bit much for me. That's all I wanted to say.
Nah. Yeah, it is late. It is late. I mean,
so why don't you do that at launch?
Because they had to squash the beef. They had to squash the beef. Yeah, it was the behind the scenes
stuff. It took them 4 years to come together and be exactly. Like, let's squash it.
Yeah.
After
all the sins that Sackboy has created.
And then I'll come back to Melatonin again for a second. Melatonin is sick. Again, if you're looking for a rhythm game, that's like a chill ass rhythm game. If you're looking for like a new rhythm heaven type of game, I really enjoyed it. I didn't get to talk about Melatonin that much because I think I played it over winter break like a year ago when it came out. But I really, really liked it. So yeah, that's it once again for Wii News. Roger?
Yes.
Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Kebabs writes in and says the Horizon TV show is a prequel as it's set in the time of the old ones, shortly before the outbreak of the Pharaoh Plague.
Man, I played half of the first one. None of that made sense.
Oh, you don't know about the Pharaoh Plague?
No.
So like the not interesting part of the
that's what I find universe? I don't think we know that much. I think we just know it's a prequel. I'm looking at that Horizon TV prequel.
You're wrong.
Yeah, because I think we knew it was a prequel. Did we know that was before the plague? Oh, wait. Okay, no, this isn't confirmation. It's what I'm seeing is all rumored stuff because it's called Horizon 2074. I believe at least that might be like the working title. And people are speculating that if that's true, then it could be touching on prequel things. But I don't think it's confirmed that it's actually taking place before the plague. If you're making a Horizon TV show, you're not going to make something that's fully pre-plague. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
at least crazy. Have flashbacks. Maybe it's like one of those things where it's like a dual story.
Yeah, I think I think you tell it in flashbacks or something. But I don't. You're not going to have you got to have like fucking robot.
I mean, like, it's PlayStation, animals. Right? You either get The Last of Us or you get the Uncharted movie, right? So it's like, I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, Jeff Grubb said that was false. There you go.
Thank you, Jeff Grubb.
ZOVGM says, regarding The Last Night, it is, in fact, a 2.5D cyberpunk-themed game first shown in 2017. So there you go.
Oh, okay. It's also a Transformers
movie. Yeah, it a Transformers movie?
It also was a Transformers thing, yeah.
That's great.
Kebab says a year wrong for the description of the Xbox, the SpongeBob Xbox. It does not display SpongeBob's Krusty Krab uniform, as the uniform is just a tall hat, which is not on the SpongeBob Series X or the controller. I thought
that's
fact.
No, that's true. That's a good
absolutely.
One.
That's great. He's just wearing his fucking clothes.
Yeah,
that's just his everyday outfit.
But maybe his everyday outfit is his uniform. You know what I mean? He loves because the first episode.
Yeah, he's you're right. You're right. His clothes.
You're right.
In flashbacks, when he's a kid, he's wearing
the clothes.
It's not a Krusty Krab uniform.
Can you bring back like the picture of the Xbox? Do we see the top part of it?
No. I guess it's just the vent. It's just
I would say. I guess
it would be nice if it came with a little hat.
Yeah,
a small little hat
and little arms.
I want big arms. I want real big arms, Barrett. I want real big arms.
I'm trying to figure out how to fit into your entertainment center. It's like, oh man, these arms are smacking my DVD player.
No, but that's why you can like move them so you can kind of have them up. You know what I mean? His hands are up, depending on where you are.
Manny Cordoba. Okay, this isn't you're wrong. Manny Cordoba is just saying they take great offense to the notion that there are no good CW shows.
Yeah, there are. They're none.
There are good CW seasons.
No, I said good. I did not say good. I said great. There's good.
There's...
Again, the first good. 5 seasons of Supernatural, great.
What channel is Doctor Who on? That's not CW, right?
No, that's
definitely not.
That was BBC, and now it's kind of Disney Plus, I think.
Yeah.
If they just canceled Arrow after season like two or three. It would have been great.
It would have been awesome. It would have been awesome. Once he fell off the fucking the mountain, oh, God. Just say he died.
But let me tell you. Awesome. In like season five or something like that, there's a finale that is so crazy in Arrow that I will always remember.
Yeah.
Where they go to light spoilers. Okay, not so light. Spoilers for season five of Arrow. It might be season four. I forget which season. But on one of the seasons, they close out the season by blowing up Lee and Yu, the island, with everybody on it. Like, all of Oliver's friends are on the island because they had to go back to the island for some shit. And they blow the island up with everybody on it. And then that's how the season ends.
Awesome.
One of the best TV moments of my life. I will never forget
that. What was the
answer?
How do they not die? Do they actually die and the Flash has to go back to time and reverse?
No, a lot of them don't die, but I forget how. Like,
they did the real big hole.
Yeah, honestly, it was probably something like that. It was like, oh, everybody get in the hole. Like,
someone does die. Someone says, wow, that's huge.
At least
one died.
One died. I was gonna say, at least somebody died. I forget who, though.
Arrow.
Was it his sister? I forget who.
He had a sister?
Yeah. Little, what's her name?
Oh, yes. I remember the mom dies. Spoilers.
Well, we're already spoiled.
We're already fucking here.
God, what a fucking show.
Isn't Destro Killer? That's cool. That was cool.
Yeah, dude. That's why season two was great.
But it was great for like younger Thea. Thank like, you know what I mean? Like Thea. Nowadays, God. It doesn't
look Shout out to up. Thea.
Shout out to Thea.
Loved Thea. Let's see. And then Hunter says the reason you may not have known there was a Luigi's Mansion 2 is because the original release was for a 3DS. And it only had that title in Japan.
Oh,
Europe and Australia.
Oh, yeah.
In North America, it was just called Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
Yes. Okay, that's the reason.
Yeah, good
that's
call.
Weird they're not calling it Dark Moon remake.
You know, I mean, we live in a more connected world. You know, like they call it just, you know, make everything the same.
Mm.
You know, because like they call it two. In
yeah,
Japan,
yeah.
Europe
it's the same thing with like a dragon. It, yeah. They're
yeah,
like,
it's just
you
like,
know what? Let's just destroy this naming convention we've created for the last 20 years. Fuck it.
Roger.
Yes.
That's it for your wrong. That's also it for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Is there anything
it.
You want to promote?
Oh,
I don't know why I'm treating you like a guest.
I mean, I am, I guess. The WWE Let's Play. That's been great. That was a great one. You should watch that.
Oh, yeah. YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games. We want to check out that Let's Play. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or on YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free. Watch us record them live and get a daily exclusive show. Until next time, Game Daily.